Welcome to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
Come on to the theatre.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 67 of the Manx Theatre Podcast with me, Neil Callan. Thank you to everyone who's listened to our previous episodes. If you're brand new to the podcast, welcome along and thanks for joining us. In this podcast, we like to try and keep you up to date with what's going on in theatre on the Isle of Man, chatting to the cast and creatives of upcoming shows to find out a little bit more about the shows and the people behind them, and also what our Manx-born and bred performers are doing further afield.
Coming up on this week's podcast,
I caught up with Lisa Kreisky, Christine Wilson and Peter Shimon from Stage Door Entertainment ahead of their production of Calendar Girls, the musical, which opens at the Gaiety Theatre this Thursday, the 29th of May. You can still listen to all of our previous episodes through all the usual podcast outlets and at manxradio.com/podcasts. Whilst you're there, make sure to give us a like and click subscribe or follow or whatever it is you need to do to make sure you never miss an episode. Now, a few months ago, we were wondering what Sam Barks would be up to now that Frozen had closed in the West End. We knew she had a few concerts coming up, including a solo live at the London Palladium. And then she turned out to be Pufferfish on The Masked Singer. We now know from a chat that she had on the Off the Script with Lucy Jones podcast that The Masked Singer happened about a week after Frozen closed. Also, her appearance on the VE Day 80th anniversary concert, it was revealed that Sam's actually practically 9 months pregnant with her second child with husband Alex Stoll. So we await news of the imminent arrival. The podcast with Lucy Jones is a great watch, and she also talks about her time on the Isle of Man growing up and gives a shout out to Dave Holland, who helped her get started. I'll share a link to the episode on our Facebook page. Elsewhere in the West End, Mrs. Doubtfire is now also closed, and Matt Overfield and Perry O'D have moved on to new projects, with Matt joining the cast of Disney's Hercules, which runs at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane from the 6th of June. Matt is ensemble and first cover for Hades' sidekicks, Pain and Panic, so he's guaranteed quite a few performances in both of those roles. Perry has recently announced that he has joined the cast of the new production of Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice's Evita, which runs at the London Palladium for 12 weeks from the 14th of June, and sees Rachel Zegler in the title role. Now, I've got an ever-growing list of Manxies who are performing in the West End and further afield, and I will update you on what they're all up to as and when I can. Back on the island, most of the companies have now started to announce their 2026 shows. Douglas Choral Union will kick off the year in February with a revival of Guys and Dolls, once again directed by David Dawson. The Manx Operatic Society will follow this in March with Legally Blonde, which they last performed in 2017. Two Feathers will be bringing Come From Away, the story of the people of Gander, Newfoundland, in the hours and days following 9/11, when 38 jumbo jets were grounded there. Then, in August, Taylorian Productions present Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats, which they previously staged in 2013. Centre Stage have got a slot booked for September, but at the moment they have not yet announced their show. So we'll let you know what that is when I find out. Well, that's it for now, but make sure you keep up to date with what's going on between episodes by following the Manx Theatre Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast.
It's time to bring this meeting to order and welcome the delegates from Napoli WI and their chairman, otherwise known as Stage Door Entertainment's Lisa Kreisky, Christine Wilson and the director, Peter Shimon. Welcome back, everybody.
Hi.
Now, Lisa, you're maintaining your first place for our most revisited guest with seven appearances now on the podcast.
Well, what can I say? You can call me an old girl if you want.
Chrissy, you're clawing back second place from Charlie.
Amazing.
Because up until now, you were joint second, but now you're clawing back second place for your own.
Perfect.
Come temporarily, because he will be back on for So we'll have to do something else. We'll have another chat with you.
Perfect.
Just for sake of getting you back up to second place. And Peter, this will be your second?
Yes.
Because we spoke a couple of years ago when you were in charge at Kensington Arts.
Correct, yeah.
So this brings you up to joint seventh with 29 others.
Right, I've got some work to do.
So there's some work to do there, yes. So anyway, we're here today to talk again about Calendar Girls, the musical. We first spoke back in December, I think it was.
Oh, was it that long ago?
Yeah, back when you were just starting the journey. At least we just cast the show and we're just beginning to start rehearsals. And how's things gone for you since then?
Well, it's been an absolute whirlwind and a roller coaster, hasn't it? We've obviously got the most amazing cast. We've got the most amazing production team. And I think, as of the time of speaking to you, I'm fairly certain that we've got a really, really amazing show too. And it's all thanks to the team that we have put together.
And has it all grown and worked as you'd expected it to? Chrissy?
Oh, I mean, definitely. I mean, we we chose the cast really carefully and the production team, Pete. But it's kind of exceeded our expectations, really, if anything. We knew that it was going to be, the story's amazing. We had heard the music and we really liked the music, but it's exceeded our expectations. And the kind of friendship and camaraderie in the group really, really echoes the kind of friendship and camaraderie of the ladies and gentlemen of Napley back in the day.
Yeah. Now, we've said this many times, that both you, Lisa and Christy, you both share a brain and quite often share directing duties as well. One of you will be in it, one of you will direct, or you'll kind of do it between you. But this time, I guess you're taking on two big roles. You've handed the reins over to Peter.
Absolutely. We couldn't think of anybody better.
Thank you. It's quite the compliment.
Now, I know that when you were away, you did some directing, Peter, and I know you've been assistant director with Centre Stage quite a few times, but is this your first time in charge of the reins on a musical?
First time in charge of the reins on a musical at the Gaiety.
Yeah.
I did shows when I lived in London. My amateur theatre society in London had like a smaller kind of box theatre that we did shows on just off Fleet Street. So I like saying off West End. Yep. So yes, and I did How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, the musical, and Dogfight, the musical as well. And then before the pandemic, I was going to be doing a musical called Working. So yeah, I've some experience with musicals, but more in a black box rather than the kind of scale we have at the Gaiety, which is super exciting and slightly scary.
So has it grown from your initial vision of what you'd sort of planned to do with it back at the start of the year?
I think so, because I'm working, very fortunate to be working with a lot of very experienced people, and the actors are bringing a lot of their own ideas to things. The production team are adding into things. It's a very collaborative process. So I'm not really a firm believer that a director should come in and say, this is my vision and that's how it should be. It's been a really fun process working together on it. And I think the end result is going to be something quite special.
It's been quite collaborative then. It's grown as you've worked your way through.
I would say so, yeah.
Say it, Pete. Say it's evolved.
Oh, gosh. It's been very organic.
No, there was only one rehearsal where there was a massive eye roll because we'd probably really annoyed you.
A little bit too just collaborative.
Just the one.
Yeah. Quite good at putting us back in our box. A lot of middle-aged women have a lot of ideas.
I was going to say, has it been difficult to keep them all in their place? But it sounds like it's not been too hard.
No, they've been very good to me, very supportive. But I think because everybody wants the best out of this show as well, it means that we're all working together. But certainly when it came to the nude scenes, I think the ladies were more relaxed than I was about it. So that was quite fun, yeah.
And you've been ably assisted by Jem Last as well.
Yes.
So she's been doing all sorts of things behind the scenes.
Jem is an absolute whirlwind, and her level of organisation is something else.
You think you're organised until you meet Jem, really.
Yeah.
What that woman can't do with a spreadsheet isn't worth knowing.
Wow.
Incredible. And like, obviously, I've been friends with Jem for years. We all have. Chrissy's, you know, you guys have obviously worked with her at Centre Stage, but I've not really worked with her in sort of a production sense, and she, like, I've never seen anything like it. She is, we're keeping her, she's ours. I said, we're going to put
we'll
her in
say,
a drawer.
Oh gosh, we need to do such and such a thing. And Jem will say, oh yeah, I've done that 3 weeks ago.
Brilliant.
Okay, thanks.
Excellent.
Thank you. Love you. Love you. Tick. Bye.
So she's been well on top of things all the way throughout then, yeah?
Mm. Amazing.
She's brilliant. Absolutely.
So hopefully she'll make things nice and easy coming into the theatre this week then.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Me too. Me three.
I mean, like I said, this morning is Sunday the 25th of May. It's the start of a, let's just say, mental period for you guys, because you've literally got about 3 days in the theatre and then you're on.
My stomach's just actually come out of my mouth.
Sorry.
It's a very short get-in and a very short tech, but we've got a lot of faith in our team that we've put around us. And I think knocking on some wood,
It'll be fine.
I mean, like, I think Emma was saying yesterday was her last day where she has nothing to do with the show until the show is finished. So today, after this, you've got a line run, and then you've got my absolute favourite part of any show, Sitz Probe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really excited about that. So a massive shout out to Claire Temple, who's our MD. She's been absolutely brilliant. She's played for every rehearsal. She does it with grace and good humour, goes over lines a million times, and then just sits in front of the band and tells them what to do, and it's just all the magic happens, and the band are amazing as well. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Can we just check the harmonies on that one once again? Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you just try doing it like this? You know, like it's written.
But it's nice, but that's not what's unwritten.
Yeah.
But
actually on the band, you know, we heard one of their rehearsals last week, and it's quite a small band.
Yeah.
They've only got six mm-hmm. musicians, but the sound they make is absolutely astonishing. I mean, I'm always blown away by how talented musicians are on Ireland anyway, but these six individuals that we've got are absolutely astonishing. I can't wait for everybody to hear it.
Can we give them a bit of a name check?
Okay, so obviously we've got Claire Temple,
yep,
as our amazing musical director. Then we've got Gareth on keys. We've got Jay on drums, who's just phenomenal.
Oh, he's brilliant.
And everything else that, you know, Jay does. Rhino on trumpet and cornet, who is just beyond belief. Gary Reynolds, obviously. And then Johnny G on bass.
Yeah. Oh, Johnny G. Nice, yeah, to have Johnny G in the bit.
Johnny G.
It's always a great show with Johnny G.
I should say that Claire's also playing keys, so she's conducting mainly with her head.
Very good at it, though.
Very good. Very good.
Yes, you come in when I nod.
And just to note, the brass, they're sort of, the two of them are basically being a whole brass band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, all of the kind of, obviously there's a strong northern,
yes,
brass band influence, so they're being a whole brass band, just the two guys.
Okay, so it's based on a play by Tim Firth, mm-hmm, with music by Mr. Gary Barlow of Take That. Just give us a little rough idea of the story, just to refresh our memories.
So we first meet this group of friends, these WI ladies, and we find out that one of them's husband has got blood cancer. Sadly, he dies, and the friends want to, well, the two main ladies, the two best friends who Lisa and I are playing, decide that they're going to do a WI calendar to raise funds for a settee in a relative's room, because they've sat on this very uncomfortable settee for lots of hours.
Yeah.
And they enlist the friends to join them, and obviously this is a true story.
Yes, yes.
I think it was 1999, and they do this nude calendar. It's the WI doing what WI do. Mm-hmm. Cake making, jam making, willow weaving, all of that kind of stuff, but in the nude. I think they wanted to sell 100 calendars and they sold 88,000.
Wow.
So not only did they buy the sofa, they actually, a wing was built in this gentleman's memory that the sofa then went in.
It's amazing.
And I mean, you know, back in the day, Chrissy and I were talking the other day about, you know, nudie calendars, like, mm-hmm, page three models and stuff. They were a huge, oh, yeah, thing in, yeah, in, oh, yeah, in the 90s. Yeah.
All the tabloid papers, yeah, had their,
yeah,
own
Sam Fox and all that, you know. Yeah.
It's hard. We were sort of explaining it to our younger cast and they were a little bit surprised.
Yeah. What?
What? In the newspaper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, weird, yeah, but it? Back in the day, you know, it was a big thing, but it was quite, you know, it was very risque.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was only the big tabloids that did it, wasn't it? So for these women who were obviously respected in their community, you know, part of the WI, which was a huge thing with their jam making and their willow weaving. And
very straight-laced.
Very straight-laced. For them to go, we're going to do a nude calendar, it was so brave and so risque and so out there. That I think nowadays, sort of nudity is a bit more acceptable, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It is, but back then,
yeah,
you know, it was. I was actually looking at the original calendar the other day, and you know, ours is a lot tamer than theirs was. Mm. The one that,
right,
we actually did a Manx Calendar Girls,
yes, yes,
calendar to raise more money for the Big Manx Community Charity, and ours is very. It's, we like to say, it's very tastefully done. You can't, all the rude bits are covered.
Yeah.
But, you know, theirs was a lot more risque. You see a lot more on the original WI calendar. And so just think, these ladies are so inspirational and so powerful and so, I don't know.
It's about being a role model as, yeah, well. You know, they were obviously this kind of rural parishioners they're described as. But they are their role models, their mums, their sisters, their aunties, grannies, even
teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. And to do that, and to do it obviously in the name of charity, but it was inspirational, definitely.
And speaking of charities, you're raising funds for
it's the Big Manx Community.
Big Manx Community.
Every penny will go back to people on the Isle of Man. Every penny that we raise. So obviously, this is a passion project for us. I've talked before about my husband actually having a cancer diagnosis. And we just felt that there's no way we could do something that was such a feel-good thing,
yeah,
and make a profit. We had to donate it back So it's every penny's going back to the Big Manx community, and it will stay on the Isle of Man.
Fantastic.
And I mean, a massive part of that was being able to donate all our proceeds to the Big Manx community is, like, we've got some amazing sponsors for our show as well. We were really fortunate. We wanted it to be an Isle of Man community project.
Yeah.
And we really feel like the whole of the Isle of Man community. We've pulled in favours from friends and family.
They're all sick of hearing from us about
them. They are. But, and obviously it wouldn't have been possible without our amazing sponsors either. So I should probably give them a mention. We've got obviously KPMG, Canaccord, Step, Oxesia, and of course our amazing main sponsor, Interlink HR, which we are incredibly thankful for. We really are.
There's no way. We could have done it, but we would have been very, very frightened.
Very frightened. And we wouldn't have raised as much money because it just wouldn't have happened. So yes, we're feeling very, very lucky and very loved.
Fantastic. I mean, it's so important to get the sponsors for these shows, because without them, we just can't do them at the level that we want and that the island community deserves. Okay, so tell you what, let's have a look at the cast of these wonderful ladies and gentlemen that make up of the show.
It's quite the Manx Theatre royalty.
Oh yeah, definitely. Backstage and on stage.
Yes.
Not least your missus.
Indeed. So Chrissy, then you're playing Annie, and Lisa, you're playing Chris, the two leading ladies whose the story revolves around. Best friends in real life and theatre?
Well, this whole show...
Why
are you so obsessed with me? No, I think that it's this show, the reason that we love it, one of the reasons we love it is it's very much life imitating art. You know, Chris and Annie have been best friends since childhood. Chrissy and I have been best friends since childhood. You know, obviously there's some parallels as well with the husband.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
When we got the show... we very quickly decided that we didn't want anyone else to play the lead apart from us.
Surely not.
I know.
But that we're basically really playing ourselves.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a running theme for the whole show, actually. The people that we've cast, you know, they're versions of themselves, you know, which we love because we just love seeing heightened versions of our friends. It's really fun.
Yeah.
And I must say, because I obviously came into the process after they had cast the show, so I came in to a full cast of people, and that could be quite intimidating for someone to not know. But thankfully, recognised so many of the names, worked with so many of the names, and as soon as we did the first table read, you basically see people just naturally playing themselves, like Lisa says, at a heightened level. And for me, it's people, quite a few of them are people that I looked up to as I was kind of growing up through theatre, and I'm then helping to guide their vision and help shape those characters, and thankfully not need to sort of say, oh, I really think your character would do this, because they just bring that to the table straight away because they can find it in themselves. So that's been a really enjoyable process as well.
Excellent. Danielle Brighton is playing Cora.
Yeah, so she's the one who plays the piano. She's the vicar's daughter.
I don't know how we had that idea.
Yeah, vicar's daughter.
Is she a single mother as well?
She's a single mum. She's sort of joined the WI to re-establish her reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And she is one of the ones who is like, there's absolutely no way I can do this calendar straight away.
Yeah.
But then she gets talked into it quite quickly.
Oh, go on then.
Literally, it takes a musical number.
Which in theatre is like a very long time.
It's a huge amount of time.
Yeah.
Time passing.
Yeah, because people can like meet and then have a song and then get married. So.
Yeah. Listen. Quicker than that in panto.
Well, yes. Celia is played by Joanne Dickinson.
Oh, my goodness. I know that I shouldn't have my favourites, but Jo is utterly hilarious as Celia. She is an ex-air hostess who's kind of fallen in love with a kind of lad done good and been, you know, swept off to Napley in Yorkshire. Doesn't quite know what she's had herself in for. It says in the script, it's like she's come in from another world, because she has.
Yeah.
And she has some absolutely cracking lines and the most fabulous number. I can't wait for everybody to see it. Jo hasn't done that much recently.
No.
In musical theatre. She did
Elegies.
She did Elegies for us, and she did Full Monty as well. But she tends to, you know, she's very busy in her job, as lots of our cast are. But she just, I don't know why she doesn't do more, because she is just so talented. And having seen her confidence grow in rehearsals as well has been really, really special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she did a lot sort of about 25 years ago. When I first joined Manx Operatic Society, she was in there amongst the leading ladies with a few lead shows.
I was at Christine Wilde Theatre School with Jo.
Yeah.
We used to make radio adverts in her bedroom.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's random. Yeah, they're really funny.
Jessie is played by Sonia Callan.
Yes, loving working with Sonia because I went to stage one when I was a kid.
Yes.
Actually, Sonia was involved in stage one then as well. And I grew up with, you know, Sonia teaching me choreography, and now I'm on the other side watching Sonia strip off her clothes. It's a whole the whole journey we've been on together. But yeah, she plays the sort of, I suppose, the authority figure, yeah, the older member of the group who's a retired schoolmistress. So all of the other ladies are quite scared of Sonia,
yeah,
as well, of Sonia's character, I should say.
Sonia.
And she, her character in particular, has some really sharp, sarcastic, yeah, dry lines that like cut through really, really well. And Sonia plays that to a T. And she has a real standout number in the second act as well. It's, yeah, just great to see someone who's so experienced and so good at their craft have a real chance to shine with it. It's really nice.
And she's knitting.
She knits throughout
the whole show.
Mm.
And she's actually...
actually knitting for real. Yeah.
She's actually doing it. It's fabulous. She got very upset the other day when she dropped a stitch.
Mm. Oh.
I think it was in the nude scene as well, actually. She's like, oh, I've dropped a stitch. Darling, that's not all you've dropped.
Grania Jochen is playing Ruth.
So Grania was the person that I remember, because we message people and say, would you be interested in doing such and such a thing with us? She took about half a second to reply, yes. So she was on board from the absolute outset, didn't even need to think about it. And her character is actually, she's the one who probably is least like her character, because her character's the wallflower.
Right.
At the end, though, she's very like Grania.
Yes.
She finds her confidence and, yeah, she finds, you know, she's downtrodden. She's not Grania, the character. She's downtrodden and has this husband who isn't very nice to her and cheats on her and sort of uses her as a bit of a human doormat, really. And the calendar makes her realise that she's better than, yeah, all of that. And she finds this true friendship with these ladies and a confidence to be on her own and to tell him to sling his hook. So, and Grania plays that to an absolute T. She's fantastic.
Marvellous. Emma Callan is Mari, the chairman.
Oh my hilarious goodness. Oh, do you know, considering what a wonderful, kind, you know, charismatic woman your wife is, she plays Mari absolutely beautifully. Mari is like the chairman of the WI and she's very straight-laced, and she is the one who almost makes the calendar not happen.
Yes.
She's kind of the villain, I guess.
Very much the villain, yeah, absolutely.
She's very out of character for Emma.
Yeah, but the way she plays it is so straight and so almost deadpan. My character, Chris, actually has
an argument yeah,
with her, and it's one of my favourite scenes because it's so difficult not to laugh because she plays it with such vigour and straightness, and it's just like, I can't cope because I know Emma so,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's absolute testament to her talent and her acting ability that she plays this vile woman so, yeah, well. But I think the lovely thing about how the show's written is every single character, men, women, the teenagers, they all have these wonderful journeys where they start isn't necessarily where they finish, and I definitely think that comes in for Emma's character Mari as well.
I mean, yeah, having gone through the script so many times with Emma running lines and stuff like that, there's a lovely little scene, I think it must be in Act Two, where I think it could be the start of Act Two, where she's in the pub with the husbands and just sort of drops the little bombshell about, yeah, the naked calendar.
Yeah.
Oh, did you not know? Anyway, see you later.
Yeah. Yeah, and the way she does that is just, it's heavenly. Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so on to some of the men then. So we've got Howard Kane playing John, who is Annie's husband.
Yes, that's right. So we don't see that much of John because unfortunately he passes about 40 minutes in.
Spoilers.
But Howard plays him brilliantly. He's the right measure of, John is sort of son of a farmer, very stoic, very doesn't use two words when one will do. But you still find so much affection for him because of the way Howard's playing him. I think sometimes that character, because it is kind of a more straight character,
yeah,
could be a little bit difficult to like. But Howard's playing it with such kind of charisma that you're really actually sad.
Yeah.
When it all goes wrong.
I mean, Howard is fantastic, and he can do so much with so little as well. Because I think one year in one of the Easter festivals, he was in a play where I think he had like three lines of dialogue and still managed to win Best Supporting Actor.
Oh,
sounds like I hate people like that.
Unfair.
Mind you, saying that, we've got a couple of characters like that in this show as well. Mm-hmm. Sorry to if you've got a certain schedule of what you. But Kate Cowley and Debbie Gooding playing
Miss
Wilson.
They literally say just tea and coffee.
All they say through the whole thing is tea and coffee. And I'm sorry, I think they're going to steal the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know, those two, they remind me of, if you've ever been to any of the Madfair functions, the two Vivians. Oh. They're the ones with the tea and the coffee. They do the raffle. It's them in real life. Yeah.
I think also because Kate and Debbie are such good friends outside rehearsals, it really shows, and they're having so much fun with it as well, and I think that really comes through.
Yeah. Rod, who is your husband, Lisa, that's played by Alex Duncan.
Yeah, Alex Duncan. What can we say about Alex Duncan? So it's quite special to me playing opposite Alex. Obviously, we went to school together, but he also taught my son English and drama at primary school. So in our family, we've got a huge affection for Alex anyway. And then you meet him and it just, he's one of those people that just makes your heart grow three sizes.
Oh, yes.
Mm. His character is very much, so Chris and Rod, they're very much, how would you say it? They're quite high energy characters.
Yeah.
And I think that could be quite a lot
quite full on.
Quite full on to watch, but because it's so well written and Alex plays it so well, it really encourages me to have fun with the relationship and sort of find the downs as well as the ups.
He's got a real high energy, doesn't he?
Really high energy. And also, I love playing with somebody like Alex because he changes it every time.
Yeah.
He always challenges you on stage and kind of, you're not quite sure what you're going to get. And I like that.
Yeah.
I like
it. Keeps it interesting.
It keeps it interesting and it makes, it makes every time you do a scene, it makes you find something different in it. So I'm really enjoying working with, and Rod is just a really lovely, likeable, happy, chappy character.
Yeah.
Who you wouldn't necessarily want to get on the wrong side of, but you'd have to find that side first.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's going to take a long time to find that wrong side.
Yeah.
Okay. So Celia's husband, Dennis, is played by Jeff Pugh.
Yes, Jeff. It's always great to see Jeff back in a show because he's done lots of shows with other societies and he was in Elegies for Stage Door as well. So he is, again, these are some quite small parts in a way, but there are obviously no small actors and they really make the most out of those moments. There's a line that I won't spoil too much to in this podcast, but he is describing his air hostess wife and how he does or doesn't see her in the nude, and he makes a reference to a film with a shark that is it's just really funny. I think you've got a lot of kind of one-liners from these characters that can really, like Lisa says, steal the show. And Jeff also has some great moments of singing, and his voice is really, really good, his humor is really, really good.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, they have a really nice resolution to their story as well.
Fantastic. Rachel Braidwood is playing two roles. She is playing Brenda Hulse, the guest speaker, and also Lady Cravenshire.
She's, again, a little scene stealer because these roles are very small, but she's no small actor. So Brenda Hulse comes to give a talk on broccoli at the WI.
She's a vegetable enthusiast.
I didn't realise it was broccoli.
Vegetable enthusiast. And then by stark contrast, she's very much the lady of the manor when she does Lady Cravenshire.
No acting required.
No acting required. But have you got something suitable to wear for that, Rach? Yes, of course you have. So yeah, she's just fab. It's brilliant to have her in it, even though in these very small rows. It's just lovely to have her.
And as Lisa said before, all of these people have very important day jobs outside of the theatre world. So even when you have these small parts, being able to slot them into the rehearsals, it's been, you know, quite a condensed period of time for us to rehearse. And Rachel's been great at just coming in for half an hour to do a bit of a scene and then we can let her go.
Yeah.
And you can only really do that when you know that the people you're working with are very experienced and know what they're going
to
do.
You've got the confidence to rely on that they can do what they need to do.
Yeah, and you go into the theatre and you just know it's all going to work. So fingers crossed that's how it plays out. But that's kind of how it's been.
Jinxed it now. happy.
Yeah.
I mean, just you said there about, you know, do you have something that you can wear for that? I mean, with this, because it's a contemporary piece, it's been quite easy for all for everyone to sort of bring their own wardrobe in. So that's...
we're all playing ourselves, all versions of ourselves.
Literally.
Yeah.
So it's been quite easy, really, to costume. I think the hardest probably has been for Kate and Debbie, because they're playing these two sort of wallflower sisters.
Yeah.
And they're not wallflowers, but, you know, I think they've managed to pull something together.
I think they're just having so much fun with it. You know, when you sort of say to somebody, oh, we'd like you to play these parts. I mean, all you say is tea and coffee. I think they thought we were a bit strange. But
there's lots of singing for them as well.
Lots of singing, yeah. But I think that... It just, I love tea and coffee. Mm-hmm.
I think it's worthwhile mentioning on the costumes. I don't know if you're going to talk about the production side, but although it is most people wearing their own clothes, Jenny Halstein's done a really good job of pulling everyone together, yeah. Working with Jem and me on kind of what all of the vision should look like for the show. Because, you know, we'll have lots of things on our wardrobe, but you need to have an idea of what's going to work. Jenny's really good, again, at the organisation of pulling everyone together, making sure they know what they need. And she can have a great team of quick changes for some very quick changes at the very end of the show as well.
There are a lot of mine and Chrissy's character especially have a lot of very, very quick changes. So she's been brilliant, kind of even in the rehearsal room, preparing us for that. Some taping going on too, which will be fun.
Yeah, with this show, it's not just the costumes you're wearing, it's the costumes you're not wearing.
Well, exactly, yes, yes. I suppose one of the important bits then with the whole calendar is the photographer, who's played by Daniel Sebastian Gray, who's playing Lawrence.
Who is just a joy. Dan's quite an unassuming sort of character mm-hmm. in himself, and Lawrence is exactly the same, but instantly likable. Mm. He's got to come into this room of, it's a bit like Pete really coming into this room of middle-aged women and directing them and telling them what to do, and that's what Dan's character does.
Yeah.
So he's had a lesson from the master.
Really, yeah.
In like, let's just try it then, okay? Then we'll do it my way. but yeah, Dan is just so lovable.
Yeah.
And that's Lawrence, the character, is lovable and sort of shy and a little bit overwhelmed by all of these women and their naked bodies.
Yeah.
But just sort of gets on with it. And of course, he was the man.
Yeah.
As well as Pete. The two men in the room when we actually did have to... And before we'd got all the props sorted and before we knew exactly what we were doing. And just that day, the first day we did it, was... well, both of you, but Dan as well, you know, like, with such good grace and good humour, and nobody felt weird.
Yeah.
And they were just lovely, probably. Like you
say, like I said, we were more nervous than the ladies were.
They had a problem getting us to put our clothes back on.
Yeah. It still continues to be a challenge.
Yeah. So, no, but Dan is absolutely great, and it's just a joy to be with, really. Mm.
Yeah, I remember Emma telling me there was a night where our son Daniel had to come with her to rehearsals, and he was messing around or something. She just went, "Daniel!" And Dan jumped a foot. Like,
sounds about right.
Darren Webb is playing Colin, who is Sonia's husband.
Yeah, Darren. I've known Darren now for years. And when I met Darren, we were sort of having a conversation. I think we were at a party or something. We were having a conversation. He was saying, and I was telling him about a show that I was doing, whatever I was doing at the time. And he said, I used to do a little bit of acting. Oh, you know, I'd love to get back into it. And so I think, you know, I sort of encouraged him. I think it was something to do with the service players. No, that's right. No, he came and did Theatre Fest for us when we were doing Theatre Fest with the Arts for the Arts Council. And he just loved it. He was in one of our devised projects and absolutely loved it. And, you know, we held on to him ever since. Yeah. And yeah, now he's part of the team, and he's lovely. He's very good at sort of being a very good supporting actor, a supportive actor. He's playing Sonia's husband. And again, like Chrissy said, it's a very small part and it's very much supporting Sonia's journey and her character. I've just said journey again. I actually hate myself. but you know, he's a brilliant addition to the cast because he doesn't try to take over a scene. He's there to support it. And I think that that's a real rarity in a lot of actors, especially amateur actors nowadays, who are just happy to be there and support and, you know, be part of the team.
I think as well, these husbands give us more of an insight into the women and the lives that they have. So the husbands, whilst they're not on stage as much, they sort of, you instantly recognise why that character is the way she is because of
the relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's that, like, you know, that lovely supporting role, but it also, it gives more background
And yeah, right, it comes from the fact that the way the guys and the ladies who are playing these smaller parts are approaching it is that they are all fully formed characters in themselves that make up part of this community and, like the ladies say, make up the stories of the six main girls. Because otherwise, if you just come on and say a couple of lines in order to move the story along, you don't get a lot out of that, and the audience doesn't get a lot out of that. All of these actors, all being very experienced and passionate about the project, have come in with an idea about their character or an idea about how to say a line, or Alex making different choices all the time means you are seeing characters that create the full colour of this community rather than just fill a hole.
Yes. And every community has their youth. And in this cast, we have Tomo, who is played by Kieran Doherty, and he is Cora's son.
He absolutely is Cora's son. He's a cheeky chappy. He, I think, has some of the funniest lines in the show.
100%.
He eggs on his friend, who we'll talk about, I presume, in a minute. But he eggs him on. He gets the two of them have like a real laugh together.
And yeah.
The audience goes with them. And there's a lot of kind of, I think, as an older person, there's nostalgia in watching these teenagers be teenagers.
Spring Fate is a great example of that. That's a fantastic
exactly.
song.
Yeah. So they're just, I mean, Kieran's just fab. And again, he's not on stage all that much, but the minute he's on it, you know, he's...
You don't want him to leave.
No, exactly. Is it
Kieran's character that thinks that Celia is...
Yes.
Yeah. He's got a bit of a crush, a schoolboy crush.
He has a bit of a crush on her and feels very strongly that it's reciprocated.
Yeah. I'm being groomed, man.
Yeah. So, his lines about that are very funny.
Yeah. So his partner in crime then, Zach Colligan, is playing Danny, who is Lisa and Alex's son.
He is. He is. It's funny, Chrissy was saying the other day, seeing the three of us together, we look like a bit of a weird family.
Yeah.
Because I'm so little and the two of them are so tall.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, she is very much the mama bear.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do tower over me. They are. But Zach, I find Zach, working with Zach, he's very reliable on stage. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no shakiness or vagueness about him. He knows exactly his character. He's very stable in all his lines. And he's another actor who gives you a lot on stage. Mm-hmm. So I'm really enjoying work. I've never worked with Zach before on stage. Obviously, I've watched him, but it's just confirmed everything that I thought about him as a performer. I mean, Zach's a real all-rounder, isn't he?
He's a
musician, he's a singer, he's an actor, but it's just working with him has really confirmed, and it's just given me so much hope for the future of Manx Theatre.
And he's such a nice lad as well.
He's so nice, you know. I remember when I did Shirley Valentine at the Studio Theatre, he did backstage for me and he was absolutely invaluable. So not only is he brilliant on stage, he can also do everything off stage as well. So
bi-thespian.
He's bi-thespian.
Yes.
Wow, I think that I am going to make it my life's mission to find something he can't do. Yeah. But yeah, brilliant actor. I'm really, fingers crossed, we get to work with him again in the future before he goes off and changes the world.
Yes. And then rounding off the cast, as far as I'm aware, we have Katie Rose Hughes, who's playing Jenny, who is Mari's daughter.
I love Katie Rose. I think she's so talented, a real consummate professional as well. She really knows what she's doing at such a young age as well. I worked with her originally at Kensington Arts. She did some of our National Theatre Connections shows, and she's grown even in the last couple of years as a performer. She played the lead part in Legally Blonde recently and Sister Act recently for Castle Rushen. So she is kind of top of her game in terms of kids at that sort of age as performers, and I'm sure her ambition is to go off and do it professionally, and all of this sort of experience really helps them on that journey. But Katie Rose, for this character, you know, she plays the sort of bit of a wild child type rogue that's been kicked out of school, bringing in alcohol to school, which is, I want to say, not what Katie Rose is like. She maybe is one of the only characters that isn't
for the sake
playing
of this
herself.
Podcast, let's say she's not.
Yeah, but she is. She takes to that really, really well, and actually, all of the teenagers play teenagers very, very well too. When I saw it in London, because I saw the show in London, you had sort of a couple of people in their mid-20s playing those parts, and you're thinking, I believe it, but there's something special about seeing actual teenagers being teenagers, and Katie Rose does that really well, and I must say, her voice is incredible as well.
Yeah.
And she's very instrumental in the nude scene as well, when we're
doing staging
all the, yeah, staging all the photographs. And, you know, for a 17-year-old to come into a group of, as Chrissy keeps calling us, middle-aged women.
Yeah. Right, that's the fact.
I know. but for her to come in, you know, a load of naked older women and just go, right, okay, where do you need me?
Yeah.
Is, you know, I think she's more mature than all of us put together, personally.
Probably.
Certainly us.
Definitely us.
We do have to accept that we are all in our middle age era right now.
Sure, well, yeah.
I'm in my race, isn't it, babe?
Except for you, Pete.
You're not.
I think, yeah.
You're still back in the youth for now, Pete. But, yeah,
I'm embracing it, dude.
I'm firmly in my dad role era.
Love that.
So ticket sales are going really, really well.
Terrifyingly well. Yeah. So exciting.
I was having a little look online this morning before we met, and I could see there's literally just a handful of the reduced visibility tickets seats left for Thursday's opening night. Mm-hmm. Friday's equally as good. Mm-hmm. There's a few more seats left on Saturday night, but I think at the moment the best opportunity for getting decent amount of tickets is Saturday matinee, and that's, mm-hmm, I think where you want to kind of focus your advertising for your tickets at the moment, yeah?
That's the caption performance as well.
Right.
So it's got that extra added sort of level of understanding.
Yeah, exactly the same show. There's not, you know, anything that's reduced in the show. It's still going to be exactly the same show, but there will be a caption box at the side of the stage, which I quite like. Just in case you can see whether we're getting our lines right.
Just sometimes wish you could face on stage.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
No, I think someone in the cast, possibly Alex, asked the other night, could we not open the gods? But I believe there's an issue with sight lines. Rather than it being what you can't see, but more of what you probably could see that you shouldn't.
Yeah, definitely. The sight lines from the gods would be, well, the all of the mystique would be gone.
There would be no, so, oh, there would be too many sight lines.
Yes.
Yeah. Describe the nude scenes as more Dieter von Teese than Sam Fox.
Right.
But yeah, from the gods, I'm sorry, chaps up there.
It would be the Venus de Milo.
Which I'm sure, to be fair, the ladies on stage will be absolutely fine with.
Fine, yeah.
But it's the audience that really need to be protected.
Well, there are also very strict licensing laws when it comes to this show. So that's also a reason that we can't open the gods. So as much as we'd love to and have a bigger audience and have more people see us and make more money for the Big Manx Community Charity, we ain't allowed.
So if you can't get in any other nights, come to the matinee. Absolutely. And you'll get just as good a show as any other night.
The matinee, it's going to be
exactly the same.
Even the restricted seats will be brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant.
If you can get them.
Now, my mum is a member of a former WI group out in Peel, the Cult of Fenella's Friends.
Oh.
And last year she invited me. I mean, they have like a meeting once a month and they invite a guest speaker in. And I got asked to come in and do a chat about putting on a show. And I was like, yeah, thinking that would be the last of it. But then it was like, just before Christmas, she went, right, you're on the 15th of January. I'm like, oh, right, I've got to do it for real then. Okay.
Chrissy and I actually went and met the Arbury WI.
Right.
We did a talk at the Arbury WI. We were their guest speakers just after Christmas. And we also were invited to the Isle of Man Federation meeting of all the Isle of Man WIs. And we took some of the girls and we sang to them and told them about our show.
Yes.
And I think they enjoyed us.
Oh, do you know, they... And
like, that was at St. John's, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We were at both the meetings at Arbury and the Federation. You know, we were welcomed with open arms. They're such a beautiful, wonderful, inspirational group of women. We were really, really fortunate to be invited.
Yeah, so when I did the one for my mum's group in January, I didn't really know the script very well. I hadn't read it through that much. But I was invited to the, I think they're called the Bumblebees in St. Mark's, just a couple of weeks ago. No, I've gone through the script goodness knows how many times with Emma. And I recognise all the characters. And I know them all quite well. And I know all the different the characteristics. And I'm stood there doing my talk about putting on a show. And obviously gave you all a very, very big plug.
Thank you very much.
But as I'm stood there talking, I'm seeing this one that's younger and quite well-dressed. And I'm thinking, that's Joe Dickinson's character. There was a couple of ladies at the back that were ready to make the team with the cakes. Yeah. I thought that's Mrs. Tea Coffee.
Absolutely. We did exactly the same thing.
And at the end, up steps the chairman. Right, everybody, let's get our diaries and let's update.
Oh, amazing. You know what, though? And that's the lovely thing about this show. It's based on real people.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I was describing it to my partner the other day and I was saying, you know, it's very northern. It's very gritty. It's very down to earth. It's not... I hope I'm allowed to say this, but it's not a tits and teeth musical.
Mm.
There are some big showy numbers, of course there are.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's going to be something that has got, it's a show that's got something for everybody. It's got, you know, if you like an actor's musical, it's got that. If you like the big showy numbers, it's got that. If you like a little bit of movement, a little bit of jumping around and dancing and a little bit of earworms, it's got that. It's got absolutely everything. But I think the overriding factor of this show is the heart and the fun and the empathy and the friendship of these women and the love. You know, it explores loads of different themes of love.
It's a real feel-good show. You'll go out on a high.
I mean, like, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But it's so, so well written. You'll find yourself in tears 1 minute and then absolutely belly laughing the next.
Laughing with tears.
There's a term, craffing, apparently. Yeah. Was,
craffing.
Yeah. was coined by Gary and Tim as they were doing it.
So right.
It's like crying and laughing at the same time.
Having that.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Right. Well, way, way back after lockdown, we set up our Spotify playlist. Now, you've both been on before a number of times and you've all had songs to put in. But as I was looking through the list this morning, there's nothing there from Calendar Girls. So we need to get some Calendar Girls songs in there. So
Dare.
100%.
Yeah, it's got to be Dare.
It's got to be Dare. It's the moment where the group decide, okay, let's do it. So, yeah. And it's true. There are views you only share if you dare. Cheesy man.
Hashtag.
Hashtag dare.
Fantastic. Right, we'll get that added to the list. So, Calendar Girls, the musical, is playing at the Gaiety Theatre from this Thursday, the 29th of May, for four performances, with evening performances at 7:30pm and a Saturday matinee on Saturday the 31st at 2pm. Tickets are selling fast, and your best option for tickets is the Saturday matinee. If you've not got your tickets already, you can get them from villagaiety.com or by calling 600-555. Chrissy, Lisa, Peter, once again, we wish you and everyone involved in Calendar Girls the Musical all the very best for later this week, and no doubt we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You're listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast with Neil Cullen.
This episode has been made possible by funding from the Isle of Man Arts Council. For full details of the funding available and the application deadlines, check out their website at iomarts.com. Right, let's have a quick look forward at what's still to come this year. First up, as we've already mentioned, is Calendar Girls the Musical, which opens this week on Thursday the 29th of May. The Arts Hub will be presenting the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee at the Ballycommune Studio Theatre for two performances on the 13th and 14th of June. The Service Players follow on with an adaptation by Leslie Darbin of Agatha Christie's A Murder is Announced. This Miss Marple thriller runs at the Gaiety Theatre from the 26th to the 28th of June. On the 12th to the 19th of July, Two Feathers present Little Shop of Horrors at the Gaiety Theatre with Jack Divers as Seymour, Meg Walker as Audrey, Charlie Williams as the dentist, and myself as Mr. Mushnick. Obviously, we'll be catching up with the cast for a chat closer to the time. Taylorian Productions are next at the Gaiety Theatre with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which runs from the 31st of July to the 9th of August. Then, Edinburgh Fringe favourites Degrees of Error are bringing their touring show of Murder She Didn't Write, an improvised murder mystery, to the Gaiety Theatre on the 20th of September. On the 27th of September at the Gaiety is the Manx Last Night of the Proms, featuring 2024 Cleveland Medal winner Neil Taverner. On the 5th of October at the Villa, Stage Ed present The Musicals in Concert, featuring Stephen Palfreman and his West End chums and students from their summer holiday stage school, bringing you all the hits from the West End and Broadway. Centre Stage Productions are bringing The Band to the stage of the Gaiety from the 10th to the 18th of October, all set to the backdrop of Take That's Greatest Hits. On the 1st of November at the Gaiety Theatre, we'll see another improvised show, this time a musical from The Showstoppers. With 15 years as an Edinburgh Fringe must-see phenomenon, a BBC Radio 4 series, a critically acclaimed West End run, and an Olivier Award to their name, The Showstoppers have delighted audiences across the globe with their ingenious blend of comedy, musical theatre, and spontaneity. A brand new musical comedy is created from scratch at each performance of this award-winning show, as audience suggestions are transformed on the spot into all singing, all dancing productions with hilarious results. The Service Players will be presenting Henrik Ibsen's A Doll's House, directed by Daniel Sebastian Gray, at the Ballycommune Studio Theatre from the 20th to the 22nd of November. Then, before we know it, it's Christmas again, and Stage Ed are back with Cinderella, which runs at the Gaiety from the 19th to the 31st of December. So, there's still lots to look forward to this year, and I'm sure there are other smaller events that I'm not currently aware of that I'll fill you in with as and when they come to light. Well,
With that, we bring episode 67 to a close, and we wish everyone involved with Stage Door Entertainment's production of Calendar Girls the Musical all the very best for opening night and their run. Don't forget to check out our Spotify playlist by searching for Manx Theatre Podcast, and that's all one word. There's 114 tracks on there now, and that's almost 8 hours of show tunes to satisfy your musical theatre needs. If you have any events that you'd like me to talk about or promote on a future episode, you can contact me through the podcast's social media accounts or by email to manxtheatrepodcast@gmail.com. All that remains is to say thanks for listening, and I hope you join me again next time. I've been Neil Callan, and you've been listening to the Manx Theatre Podcast. Goodbye.
The Manx Theatre Podcast, taking a look behind the scenes from Manx Theatre.
An actor's life for me.